Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, I worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons and forevermore.
Forevermore.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, I worship his holy name.
We're going to
sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, I worship his holy name.
We're going to sing
like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and forevermore.
Forevermore.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, I worship his holy name.
We're gonna sing
like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name.
Oh, Lord,
I worship your holy name.
Oh, Lord,
yes, I worship your holy name.
Amen.
Amen, amen. We serve a great God, a God who is worthy of worship, worthy of our praise. He is so, so worthy of our praise. Our words often seem inadequate, but yet he's given us words and given us hands and given us mouths to praise him, to lift up his holy name. He is so, so very worthy, whether we recognize it or not. God is worthy of worship, and he's worthy of thanks. He is worthy of praise, and we just lift up his holy name and give him all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. You know, we praise our ball teams, professional ball teams, college ball teams. We get excited about them. Let me turn this mic off. Yeah, I don't have my lapel mic. Okay. Yeah, but, you know, we need to praise God because he's the creator of all things, and he's worthy of our honor, worthy of our glory. Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. So if there's anything good happening in your life, praise God. Amen. It's not by chance. It's not by happenstance. It's not in our own strength. You know, we are full of ourselves, and we think it's just happening because of us. But I'm often reminded that the air I breathe, that's God's air. That's God's air. He allows us to get up in the morning and to breathe his air and to enjoy our days on this earth. So he is worthy of praise. So if you're not inclined to praise the Lord, I would say get on board and give God the praise. Don't wait till after he comes and takes us home to be with him. And we can start right here on this earth, praising him, giving him thanks, giving him the honor. Amen. 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 Don't be shy. Don't be ashamed. In whatever way, the Lord is worthy of our praise. Before Reverend Tillman comes, and I want to thank God for him. He's up and about, and good to see him. Yeah, I called him a couple of weeks ago just to check on him. I didn't call him to speak for me or anything. I just said, hey, brother, I'm calling to check on you, see how you're doing. Hadn't spoke with him with by voice for a while, and we got to talking. He said, hey, I'm up, I'm good, I'm running and whatnot, and I can speak for you if you need me to. And so he's here today, and we praise God for that. Yeah, he went through his own surgery, and he was out of commission for quite a minute there. He was, but we thank God that he's up and about back to walking and talking and doing what the Lord enables him to do with the strength that he gives him. I want to ask the church to pray for Reverend Henry. His sister passed on to be with the Lord. He let me know this morning. You know, last night he said her system was breaking down last night, and then this morning he texted me and said that she made a transition. So pray for him. Pray for his strength, his wisdom as they make arrangements for that, and his encouragement. Amen. Amen. And I also want you to pray for Marshall Hollis. We all know Brother Marshall. He hasn't been around for a while, but he has decided, and I think he's pretty settled on this, to have his leg amputated from the knee down. So he's been really dealing with infection issues that they really can't get really, really under control. And so the doctor said the best route to go would be to have that amputation done. And he's decided to go that route for his own long-term health. So pray for him. Pray for doctors that they would have wisdom, and that he would just have the strength as the Lord takes him into this new era in his life. But he's in pretty good spirits. Other than dealing with that, you know, we can't imagine what people go through, really, unless we go through the same. We all go through something, you know. We know the pains and sufferings of life. We all deal with that. But the particulars, we don't know the particulars of what people go through. And in this case, with him having to have his leg amputated there, just pray for him. Pray his strength, his energy, his peace, the peace of Christ for him. Amen. And then pray for Natasha, our daughter, and wife of our son-in-law, Byron. Pray for her. She had surgery Friday. She's doing well in a lot of pain. She's getting better, she says, but pray for her as she heals. So as she heals, pray that she'll be still and rest and allow her body to heal in God's time, not in her time. She figured she would be up in about the same day, but that's Tasha, but it hasn't happened that way. So I'll just pray for her, pray for Byron and his strength as he stands by her side. Pray for the girls and for Tyler as well. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for Reverend Tillman. Pray for these things a little bit, and then Reverend Tillman will come and bring us the word. It's great to see Sister Tillman here with him, as always. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you today, Lord. You're such a loving Father. You're a good, good Father. And for being who you are, we're thankful, Lord. Whether you give us anything else or not, oh God, you're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of thanks, Lord. You're worthy of honor, and we do honor you, oh God. You're so, so worthy because you're such a good, good God and a good, good Father, Lord. We thank you for loving us with your everlasting love, and you demonstrating that love for us ultimately in sending Jesus Christ, God the Son, to this earth to give his life for us. Lord, what a magnificent expression of love that you would sacrifice your Son, that you would allow him to be beaten and bruised and to take on the punishment, separation from you in those moments of time on the cross. You allowed that. You had to hold back from protecting him, Lord, Father, and you did that so that we could know you, enter into a relationship with you, and we thank you for being a good, good Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you rose again and that you're alive today and you're seated in heavenly places next to the Father and interceding for us. Lord, we know that we don't know how to pray rightly as we should, oh God, but we thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you intercede before the Father with groans that we can't understand and with according to the Father's will. So we lift up, Lord God, your people, all that are before me and all that couldn't be here today, all that didn't want to be here today, oh God, we lift them up before your throne of grace and pray that they would find your mercy to help them in their times of need. Lord, you know the particulars of our lives, oh God, and we thank you that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or imagine according to your power that is at work within us. We thank you for Jesus, Father, who through whom we have everything that we need for life and for godliness, Lord. Forgive us for looking to other sources first, oh God. Forgive us for turning away from you when we should turn to you in our times of need. Help us, oh Lord, to be more cognizant of your presence and of your power and of your pleasure in helping us, oh God, our Father. Lord, we pray for Brother Vern. We lift him up before you, oh Lord. Pray for your comfort, the comfort that only you can comfort him with, Lord, and the rest of his family and Sister Henry and all of them, oh God. We pray that you would wrap your loving arms around them and help them through this process of grief. We thank you, Lord God, that his sister knew Christ, and in that they don't have to grieve as those who have no hope. And we thank you for the hope of the resurrection, and that may that be on their minds, that they'll see him again, see her again one day. We pray for Natasha, Lord. We lift her up before you. We pray that she would have a great sense of your presence as she deals with her pain. Oh, Lord, you're the God who heals. We pray that you would heal her in your time and in your way, Lord, and we expect that from you. We know the doctors and nurses care for her, but we know that ultimately healing comes from you. So we thank you for giving her what she needs, God, and we pray, too, for Brother Marshall. Dear Lord, we lift him up before your throne of grace. Lord, we can only imagine what might be going through his mind and heart, but together we lift him up before you and pray your grace on his life, that he would find the grace to help him in his time of need, oh Lord, that he would know the peace of Christ with the decisions that he has to make about his personal well-being, his physical well-being, Lord. We pray that he would gather that wisdom from you and that he would find that support from you and from us, O God, as we surround him, as we reach out to him, O God, as we provide that support that you have called us as the family of God to provide one another. God, bind us together, that we would be supportive of one another, that we would be there for each other, that we would pray for each other, but also have a ministry of presence in the lives of people. Lord, we thank you for Reverend Tillman. We pray for him. We thank you for where you brought him from. Oh, God, thank you for the strength that you've given him, the healing that you've given him, oh, God, and we thank you for him coming and breaking open the word of God. Father, would you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to obey, oh, Lord, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor, glory, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. I just thank you and Agape and your pastor and everyone for your prayers. And I have to admit, I'm a big baby. I can't deal with a whole lot of pain. I don't. The doctor asked me, I think the anesthesiologist asked me if I wanted to. Certain things, I had to sign for it. I had some shots because they were doing a hernia surgery, so there's some shots in my stomach. I said, you give me everything you got. I just said, you give me everything, okay? And if you run out, go out to the street dealer. I'm sorry, Pastor, that's what I told him. I said, go to the street dealer and get whatever he's got. So, but God was good, and I just appreciate the faith family. And I don't know how people go through certain travails and problems in their life without a faith family and our church. And I was praying, and my wife, of course, praying, and just churches and my sisters in Carolina, North Carolina praying. And so you know you have that church family, that, and you're going in, and it's almost you're going in with that whole crowd of witnesses. So. It's a blessing. I thank you for it. I'm thanking Brother and Sister Davis. They sent me a get well card, and that's very nice of them. I appreciate that. And I'm not big on cards, but it was nice to get that. I'd say, oh, gee, this is actually made the effort. My wife is big on cards and balloons and all of that. But and I thank God for her. I'm just empathizing with Brother. Your wife is in surgery. I don't know. My wife has been there before, and I don't even know what to do when they go into surgery. And you got little kids. God bless. I'd be looking for my clothes. I don't know where my clothes at. I don't know where nothing's at. I got it. So I'm praying for you, brother. Just you know, you just need that your help, mate. And but God bless me. My wife was a good nurse. She was nursing me back to health, and she did a good job. We did find out early on that she is a day nurse. Day nurse, okay? You know what that means? She's not a night nurse. But she's good, excellent, above par in the daytime. But at night... It's like, okay, you all right? When I'm bumping in and stuff, trying to get my pain medicine. But I just thank God for her and how she prayed. You have a praying nurse. I thank you for the invitation. Pastor called and checked on me and texted and checked on me. But the last time he called, I kind of invited myself to preach. And I tell, oh, Lord, I said, Pastor, I done invited myself to preach. I don't think you're supposed to do that. But we just... We just thank God and for him. And I thank God we had a leadership conference, I'll tell you real quick, at our church where pastors and associate pastors came. Was it last week, I think? And just to come and talk and share about some problems in their church and how people address those problems. And, you know, none of these churches are running like a fine-tuned machine. Believe me, they're just not. I was sharing with Pastor, we went to one service for the summer, so our overflow was full, and then the video screen went out and the overflow. I don't know how many people were in there, probably 200 or 300, but they were there without a screen, without anything. And we just thank God, we're just sharing the human. We need that human factor. She was literally your announcement giver. Was late giving the announcements, but our screen went out during the announcements because our announcements are on the screen, and so that went out. So we were just thanking God for the human touch. Now, my surgery was done by a robot, and some of you may have had that robot service, robotic. His name was Da Vinci, and they put a hole about the size of my finger, three holes, one here, one down here, and one a little lower, and they put the robotic arm in here, and then a camera they slide in there, and then the doctor's over here. He's doing his thing like a video game or something, you know. But he gave me a choice. I could do the robot. Well, he said it'd be a lot quicker recovery if I used the robot because he wouldn't have to cut me anywhere outside to get his hand down in there. He said everything would be done from the inside and very little movement. So Da Vinci did it, and I did go on YouTube to see how that works and what's going on. But isn't it amazing? Everything was done from the inside. So I just amazing to think about that, the technology and how it works. We just are thankful to God that was all here. And God just is allowing them to discover it. But he put it here before the foundation probably of the earth. We want to get into the word. I won't hold you long. We just, matter of fact, today I only have 2 points. And always remember Charles Stanley saying he has 16 points. 15, 20. You know how, remember those sermons he used to do? And but I have 2 today. I'm supposed to have 3, but I got 2, Pastor. And I said, oh, God, I've only got 2 points. But that's good. You can remember those 2 to be good, right? I do have to show you my iPhone, my Father's Day gift. This is the iPhone XR. So, isn't that something? I just say, hey, Siri, you know, and Siri does it. I turned it off, so I can't demonstrate. yeah, I'm big time. I'm catching up with Pastor with the toys. Pastor's got all the good toys. Well, let's get into the Word of God. And as you know, I brought my own amens. She's right there. I brought my own amens with me, so if you don't feel like saying amens, don't worry about it. Sister Tillman is here, and I should be able to get a couple of amens from her. So I'm literally thank God for that. If you would turn in the Word of God to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Chapter 17. And if those who are able to stand for the Word of God, we just honor the Word. We appreciate that. If you're not able, we certainly understand. Luke 17, verses 5 through 6. If you have your Bibles, your devices, your pads, whatever, the Word of God is powerful, isn't it? Luke 17, verse 5 and 6 from the New King James Version. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up from the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. May God add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his holy word. Let us pray. Father, we do praise and thank you. We're glorifying your holy name. We ask you, Father, to just keep your promise to stand by your word. We know that it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And we know, Father, you're watching over us, going out to accomplish what you anointed to accomplish in our lives. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. I want to put a title on this message. It's called How to Increase Your Faith. How to Increase Your Faith. How to build your faith up. One of the benefits of the Christian life is the gift of faith. As believers, we each have a measure of faith. And faith is important. Don't miss this, because faith is the producing mechanism in the kingdom of God, which means that our faith has the ability to help us produce things. By faith, we're able to manifest things in our lives. If you need a blessing, it can be produced by faith. If you need an opportunity, it can be produced by faith. If you need a healing, it can be produced by your faith. If you need a miracle, and if I dare ask who needs a miracle, probably every hand would go up. It can be produced by your faith. Our faith can produce things. But secondly, our faith has the ability to help us receive things. You may not know it, but there are some things that are promised by God that you can only receive by faith. And I'm not specifically talking about standing on the promises. I'm talking about some spiritual promises by God that can only be received by faith. Romans 4:13 says, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." The promises of God are obtained by faith. The quality of our Christian life has everything to do with the quality of our faith. And don't let anybody fool you about this. In the kingdom of God, our faith is everything. Now it's important to understand that faith is something that everybody possesses at some level. Whether you are saved or not, whether you are a believer or unbeliever, at some level, everybody has faith. Don't you know it takes faith to eat at a fast food restaurant? You go through the drive-up, and and you don't even know who's making your food. You don't know if they wash their hands. You don't know if they're nasty. Do they have a virus? And by the look of some of their uniforms that they had, I can tell you they are nasty. The company, you have faith in the company. McDonald's. The company that you have faith in, you are looking at them and saying, I believe they're going to serve me safe food. It takes faith, brothers and sisters, to drive a car. When you get into your car, you're putting your faith in the workers at Ford and General Motors. Now, I know something about the workers at Ford. My two daughters worked at Ford. They met their husbands at Ford. And my oldest daughter, Tammy, she said she was putting in the brakes. Daddy, my job is to put in the brakes. Okay. Now, and she said, and I said, really? I said, you handle the drills and the screws and everything? Oh, she said, no, they glued in. They glued in the brakes in. I said, glue them in? She said, yeah, I got my glue gun. And blah, blah. I said, okay. Tammy, and some of you may know her, putting in the brakes. And literally, so you don't know if those workers, and we've heard stories, but you don't know if they were drunk last night and have a hangover. But you're putting your hands and faith in the hands of the car company. And you don't know anything about them. My son-in-law's job was to drive the cars off the line as they come off the line. And Pastor, they're producing 70 cars an hour. You do the math. And he said most of them, he said, won't start when they come off the line. They put gas in them, everything. They won't start. So they got to be towed off. So, but we put our faith. We never think about it. We put our faith in Ford and General Motors. Okay, what about the faith it takes to work a job? You know when you start a job, right? I was always surprised the first job I had, and they said, we hold the first week's pay. I said, whoa, that didn't make sense to me. But yeah, most of them hold the first week, right? Some of them hold 2 weeks. But you don't say, wait a minute, you go ahead and work the job those first 2 weeks, and you don't even know if you're going to get paid. But you put your faith where? In the company. You believe that they're solvent financially, and you have faith in the company. And all I'm trying to tell you, at some level, we all possess a level of faith. I'll tell you this. Literally, if you're going to experience all that God has for you, if you're going to have a God kind of faith, the God kind of faith is the same faith that Jesus had when he walked the earth. Remember in Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which we see were not made by the things which were visible. The things we see were not made by the things that were visible. You must remember that the same faith that Jesus had, God made available to humanity. And understand that only believers now are gifted with God kind of faith. Listen, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have received the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you have received that God kind of faith. Well, you must say, brother preacher, if we all have this God kind of faith, then why does it appear that sometimes it's working for some people and not working for other people? You see what's happening here? That one person has learned how to develop their faith and has tapped into their faith. And now you and I both know there are people who have been saved 30 years or more, and they still have that same testimony that they had 30 years ago. You ask them, how are they doing? And they say, well, I'm on my last leg. Yeah, I'm hanging on by my fingernails. My back is against the wall. I'm barely making it. But they have that same sad story for the past 30 years. It's not that God has not given them faith. They haven't taken the time and used the resources to develop their faith. How does one who develops muscles, how do they develop those muscles? You know, I've told the story before, but my son, Jeremiah, when he was in high school, and we literally were talking about the other day, it's been, I believe that we say 11 years or something like that, since he's been out of high school. Which seems strange. But he somehow, we know, Pastor, he had these AP classes. I think, what does that stand for, AP? Thank you. You notice I wasn't in. I don't even know what they stand for. But he had them. Advanced. I like that. That's good. But his mother made sure that's the only classes he would take and blah, blah, blah. Now, somehow, he came home with his classes that day, and we were involved in all that, and he said, whoa, wait a minute. There's a class here on conditioning. Why are we taking conditioning? What happened to AP history? Oh, yeah, it was full, Dad. Couldn't get in it. Okay, God bless him. I can't imagine that. Something happened. It was a computer mistake, but he ended up in conditioning, lifting weights. But he told me, he says, I'm in that class, so I took that. But he said, Dad, I got a problem. I can't lift the bar without the weights. And I said, well, how much is the bar without the weights? He said, I don't know. He said, but I can't lift it. I said, well, okay. I said, you find something a little less heavy and start lifting that. and lifting that. And he told me they had all up on the wall, all the seniors, people who had graduated, and what they lifted and what they pressed and all of that stuff. And here he is. I said, just keep lifting the lighter weights. Then he got to lift the bar without the weights. Then he started putting bars, the weights on the bar. And in his senior year, he told me, he said, Dad, my name's going on the wall. I can, whatever, I don't want to exaggerate, but I think he said I can bench press 250 pounds or something like that. My brother there probably knows something about lifting weights. Listen, what happened? He began to use at the level that he had and develop his muscles. He began to understand what it would take to do that. We're in the same situation when it comes to faith. We have to begin to use our faith in every situation. And this is why we can't get caught up, brothers and sisters. This is key. You can't get caught up in churches that just entertain. You can't get caught up in one of the churches that just give you a good feeling. On Sunday morning, I said, what are you going to do with that Monday morning? Because that feeling does nothing to help you develop your faith. Do you know that there are some things in our life that you can only receive through faith? There's no other way to get them. You see, your money won't buy it. Your degrees won't make it happen. There are some things that will only manifest themselves in life through faith. That's the only way. At this conference, they were talking about millennials. There's some millennials here. I forgot what the age group is, but those are young people, millennials. And those millennials, they were talking about how to attract them to church, because obviously they are now out trying to make a living and trying to get some things. And they found out through surveys that millennials want to come to church. They want to be involved, but they don't want the church to be like the club. They're not looking for that. They're actually looking for spirituality. They're looking for something different. They're looking for something with structure. They are looking and seeking. Then they talked about the different and various, not strategies, because millennials know when you're running a strategy. They don't care about that. They're not interested in strategies to get them to come to church. What they want to know is this: do you care? Are there resources there to help me strengthen my mind and my spirit to deal with what I'm dealing with? And one of the things that struck me is that said, and it was very clearly, they said, now millennials, they don't have any money. You know, good percentage of them are still living at home. And then they got student loans. They said, so if you're looking to attract them because you think you're going to get the offering up, it's not going to happen. But you need to begin to pull them in from a spiritual standpoint because you're concerned about their relationship with God. And they're seeking that. And they seem to have a keen interest, the speaker was telling us, in one area, and that is they can tell when it's fake. They're dealing with fake people all the time, and they can tell when it's fake. So literally, the church has to be available. They're coming in. When they come in, and the resources are there to literally not entertain, but show them how to develop the faith they have. You see, there's certain things in life they know, they've understood, that they can't receive out there. And unless your faith is at a certain level, there are certain things in life you're not going to receive from God. And that's what I want to do this morning. As we look at what Jesus says in Luke 17, 5 through 10, about increasing your faith. Because in Luke 17, 5 to 10, it teaches us how to develop our faith. And I believe this is a word for someone here today. It was a word for me. You know, as you develop and prepare messages, sometimes you say, hey, wait a minute, this is for me. You know, when I first started preaching at Grace Baptist Church, I used to pray, Sister Nash, that nobody would show up. That was my prayer. I did. I don't know. I just thought, okay, well, maybe nobody will show up, and that would be good because, you know, I won't be so nervous, and I can go ahead and preach. Yeah, oh, it's raining, good. But, you know, literally, you come to that point. As I read this, he said, you develop your faith and your strength, and you begin to deal with your fears. Faith will help you do that. So this morning, we're going to look at what Luke says about increasing your faith, because Luke 17:5, it teaches you how to develop your faith and increase your faith. I believe, this is a word for somebody, and if you believe that faith is the mechanism for receiving spiritual power and strength, faith is the mechanism for drawing closer to God, then you have to believe that this is a message for you this morning. Because the truth will be told, there's someone here today that needs to develop your faith. As I said, I only have 2 points, and I won't be before you long, as they say in the Church of God in Christ, as I hurry to my seat. But I want to look at the text today to let you know what Jesus says about developing your faith. The first thing we have to do, if we're going to develop our faith and increase our faith, is we have to understand how faith works. Now, notice that the text, it starts with the apostles asking Jesus for a favor. And they say, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. So the first thing we can discern from this request is that our faith should always be increasing. Our faith should always be growing. Remember now, when we are saved, we all got a measure of faith. So no one was slighted. No one got a head start. No one, literally, it didn't matter what your family background was. You receive a measure of faith. Now, I'm doing like that. I don't know why I'm doing like that. I hope it's like this. A measure of faith. So the first thing we can discern from this request from the apostles is this. Faith should always be increasing. The faith should always be growing. Remember that. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, Paul stresses that saving faith is a gift. Paul says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not from yourselves, it is a gift from God. Not of works, so that no one may boast. Faith is a gift from God. And in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 3, Paul says that, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. God's a distributor. Faith is the same as all the gifts from God. It has to be understood. It has to be developed. I know your pastor said you've got some gifts. Some of you here got gifts, and you're not developing them. All gifts have to be developed, just like the muscles have to be developed. Now, your ability to produce manifestation from your faith is dependent on your ability to understand how faith works. Your faith, as I said, should always be growing. It should always be developing. God never intended for you to have stagnant faith, because stagnant faith will cause you to have a stagnant Christian life. Now, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean any disrespect. But some of our lives are stagnant because your faith is stagnant. Some of your lives are stuck because your faith is stuck. And at some point, you have stopped believing. But since you're stuck, you still come to church. You still do come to Sunday school, but you're stuck. And maybe there's someone in your life that disappointed you, or maybe, and you blame God for that. Maybe there was an event that caused you great sorrow, and your faith system broke down under the load of that sorrow and under the load of that grief. What was it that the apostles saw? Look at that. There they are with Jesus, and he just spoke to this mulberry tree. What was it that the apostles saw in Jesus that made them make this request? They had seen Jesus heal and drive out demonic spirit. They had heard Jesus speak to people that were paralyzed, and those people got up and walked. And after healing people, Jesus will say to those people, what? Your faith has made you whole. He didn't say, I made you whole. Understand? That's what he said. We know this, their faith in him, but he said, your faith has made you whole. If you remember the woman with the issue of blood, she just touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus looked at her and said, your faith has made you whole. And if we know anything about her, she had been to every doctor in Israel. And I'm not saying stop taking your meds. I can guarantee you I'm not saying that. You just heard me say go to the street dealer. But I'm saying that you should take them and make a statement of faith each and every time you take them by saying, I believe I'm healed, and soon I will not have to take this medication. So the apostles said to Jesus, increase our faith, because they can see how important it was to having strong faith. The apostles knew they needed Jesus to increase their faith. The apostles knew that their faith needed to be developed and increased. And can I be honest with you about something? Your faith will never grow. Never grow, never increase, never develop until you get honest about what level your faith is at. You see, if your knowledge about faith is limited, you will produce at that level of knowledge. So it's very important that you are honest with yourself about what level of faith you have. I mean, if your faith is just thumbnail size, you have to be honest about that and begin to develop it. I always say, begin to pray and use your faith even when you have a headache, just a headache. And I'm delinquent in that. When I get the sinus pressure and everything, I don't think about praying. You know, I'm doing the neti pot. I'm doing whatever else I got going on. I'm taking the pills. I said, okay, what's going on? Pressure points. Whoa. Listen, what about prayer? What about praying? What about laying hands on myself? I build up just as lifting the weights. Hey, now I've cured my headache. Now I'm ready. I'm at this level now. Maybe that's the headache curing level. Don't wait until you have cancer. And then say, I'm going to pray this thing. I'm gonna pray and heal. Wait a minute. Build up. So be true. Be honest about the level of your faith. And once you're honest about what level your faith is at, then you have to make a commitment to growing your faith. Now, we're still on the first point. But I can move a little faster now. You see, because in order to grow your faith, the first thing you have to do is understand how faith works. So in verse 6, Jesus teaches them about faith. And he says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, so what we learn here is that faith is explosive, right? A mustard seed, a tiny, tiny, tiny seed. If you just need faith as a mustard seed faith, and the seed is small, and Jesus says, you don't need a whole lot of faith to accomplish a whole lot. Jesus is saying just a little faith will accomplish a lot. Remember the commercial way back when it was Brill Cream, and it said a little dab will do you. So if you have just a little faith, you can accomplish a great amount. I remember one of the pain pills I had, and literally, that pain pill was really small. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm supposed to take two of these, because this is really, you know, this is small. And so it was prescribed, so I reread the directions, and it said one a day. I said, okay, one a day is 24 hours, and I thought, well, maybe they mean one every 12 hours, because I'm asleep 12 hours, you know, so maybe that doesn't count as part of my day. I hadn't taken it yet, but I'm thinking I need to take more than one of these. So I asked my nurse, Sister Tillman. It was still day. She was still on duty. And she said, you should call your doctor. And I was tempted to take more than one, but I called the doctor, and of course I got the nurse, and she said, okay. She said, Mr. Tillman, don't take more than one a day. She said, I know it's small, because I told her, I said, this is a little small pill. She said, I know it's small, but it packs a powerful punch. And she's emphasizing, whatever you do, don't take more than one, because it will immobilize you. And you will not literally be even able to move, she said, for several hours. So Jesus is saying the same thing. He said that faith is small, mustard seed faith. He said, but faith is explosive. Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. I just want to deal with sinus headache right now. Listen to that. Brothers and sisters, don't miss this. Here's something I want to tell you. Don't miss this. What did Jesus say? He said, Jesus is talking, and the key words and what he says is, you can say. That's it. You can say. He says this, you can say to this mulberry tree, you can say. My brothers and sisters, when it comes to understanding faith, the power of faith, you must understand that the most important factor when it comes to faith is the words that come out of your mouth. Now, that's the lesson Jesus was trying to teach. Your faith will always be determined by your speech. And if you can tell if someone is walking by faith, if they're living by faith, by the words that come out of their mouth. Listen closely. Listen closely to what people say and how they say it and when they say it. Can I take this a little further? Remember this. You will always say what you believe. The words that come out of your mouth is the product of what we believe. The words derived from our mouth is a product of what's in our heart. It's in the word. Matthew 12:34 says, you brood and vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Remember, you will always say what you believe, meaning we believe something based on what we hear and what we receive. For example, if you're always telling someone that they're good looking, oh, you are really good looking. Oh, my, you are really good looking. I mean, all the time you tell them you are good looking. Everywhere you go, every time you see them, oh, you are good looking. They are told they are good looking. And it won't matter if they're buck teeth and cross-eyed and they think they are great looking. This is why you have to be careful. Listen good. This is key. You have to be careful what you speak over your children. I know your grandmas, grandfathers, I know y'all heard some strange. Be careful what you speak over your children. I'm in the stores, and I know you've been in the stores, and you hear parents talking to their little kids like, anyway, talking to them and saying some crazy stuff to them over their little kids. And if you're constantly telling them you're not good in math and you're not, you got a short attention span, you know, you're not good at reading, and guess what? You will have what you say. A child is not good in math. You will have what you say. A child who can't read well. A child with short attention span. That will get in their heart and in their spirit. And you will have what you say. And that's why you just can't receive everything that somebody says to you. Some stuff people say to you have to be rejected. And you tell them, what you are saying to me does not line up with what God says about me. And I can't allow you or allow myself to receive that. And a big part of what Christians hear and receive has lined up, has not lined up with what God says, but a big part of what Christians see and hear has to line up with what God says about you. God is not lying about you. Be careful. Monitor. And I know most of the adults in here monitor what people say to them and how they said and when they said. But young people coming out of school and going off to college, listen to what people say to you and how they say it and the tone of their voice when they say it, the tone. We're losing the tone now because we've got the texting, you know. My sister was saying something about her friend, who a young lady who's dating, but she said her boyfriend or whatever, you know, everybody's a fiancé now, even though nobody asked you to marry anybody, but they still fiancé. Wow, they learned a new word. But she said her and her friend, her boyfriend, texts all the time. And she said, you know one thing you need to do? You need to stop texting each other so much. You need to call him. He needs to call you so you can hear the tone of his voice. So you can hear some inflection. What are you saying? I love you. Oh, okay. I don't know. Is that the tone? What's the tone? What's the inflection? You know, young ladies can pick that up if you hear the inflection. I love you. Oh, I don't even sound like you love me. Wait a minute. I don't like the way you said that. You know, it's not coming through. There's no feeling, right? There's no emotion. I think that's good advice. You need to hear somebody's voice. We need to hear your voice. We need to hear what you're saying. You see, and that's why, as I said, we can't just receive everything that people are putting out, especially young people. Be careful. Watch that. Who you surround yourself with and what they are saying to you has an effect on your faith. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe in God the Father and the Holy Spirit, that they spoke and created the whole universe. And I heard Tony Evans say, do you know you have to go to college to learn about evolution? You have to go to college to learn about that. And they teach that, evolution. So what Jesus is saying is this, faith is what you say. And what you say is what you believe. Faith is what you say, and what you say is what you believe. Faith is what you say,
And what you say is based on what you believe, and what you believe is based on what you hear. If you hear it enough, you'll begin to develop a faith attachment to it. That's why you have to be careful. Be careful. Some people are faith killers. They speak into your spirit words that don't line up with God. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why you have to be committed. I mean committed to coming to Bible study and spending time in meditation each and every week. Spend time in meditation each and every day. If you can, read your meditation out loud. I know you can read it to yourself. Read it out loud so it gets into your spirit. It goes into your ear system, and literally every day. If faith is important to you, you need to be in Bible study. You need to hear the word of God. You need to be studying the word of God. Point two, put God's word into practice. This is it. How does an athlete grow in their confidence and faith in their coaches? How does an athlete grow in their confidence and faith in their coaches? By taking the coach's system, his principles, and instructions, and putting them into practice. I used to run track long, long, long time ago, 55 years ago. And run. And I'll say this, you know, without, I was a state champion in the quarter mile. And I told my wife, I said, geez, you know, the other day I was just at a little strip mall and I parked and I wanted to get to the store, but there's a car coming. So I said, okay, well, I'll run. You know. I was running. I wasn't going anywhere. I said, Lord, I am not moving. Is this car going to hit me? I said, oh, Lord, it's been put into practice. Grow in confidence. Put that system into practice. Put the principles into practice, the instructions. It's the same thing in a Christian life. It's not enough to apply truth from afar. We've got to apply truth in our lives. We are good, aren't we, at telling other people what they need to do. Here, you know what you need to do? You ever hear that? But we need to apply these things to our own life, and you've heard it before. Think about it like a chair. How does your certainty grow in the strength of some chairs? Not by looking at it, looking at the chair, but by sitting in it, by moving around in it, by testing it out. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. Ask yourself this question. Where do you need to test the wisdom of God's word by putting it into practice? Where do you need to test the wisdom of God's word by putting it into practice? Do you believe God's lying to you? I know you would never say God's a liar. That's blasphemy, isn't it? But in your actions, you need to put it into practice. What area of your life is being ruled by your own understanding instead of God's revelation? You heard it somewhere, but here it is in the word of God, but we choose to believe from afar what we heard somewhere. And we are hearing so much, I can't even remember where I hear things anymore. So what area of your life is being ruled by your own understanding instead of God's revelation that is in the Holy Bible? My brothers and sisters, that's where the rubber meets the road. This is how you grow in faith. You remember Peter? Peter was an expert fisherman, and he had toiled all night and caught nothing. You can apply that to your life sometime. But then Jesus gets in the boat, and what does he say? Throw your net in the water. Now, they're in shallow end now because they're coming in. They're in the shallow part. They're just off the shore. And what does Peter say? Lord, this doesn't make sense. Ooh, how many times have I said that? Lord, this doesn't make sense. But at your word, I'll throw out the net. And he caught so many fish that the net was breaking. That's it. It's not enough to have the Lord in our boat, is it? It's not enough to have the Lord in our boat. Okay, the Lord's your co-pilot in your car. You've seen those signs. The Lord's my co-pilot. That ain't enough to have the Lord in your boat. The majority of us here have the Lord in our lives, but are we taking him at his word? Where do you need to throw out the net? Where do you need to trust him even when it doesn't make sense? And as Jesus said in John 13:17, he said, do you know these things? Bless you if you do them. That's where the joy will be found. When we put God's word into practice. Practice. It's so important. Put it into practice. I'm sorry about the sports analogies, but you know, they have these footballers getting ready. I mean, we just finished basketball. Now we're waiting for football, and football is ready. It's coming. But they have these spring games, and they've been practicing. There's a young man at our church. He plays at the University of Wisconsin, and he came home, and I said, oh, you're home for the summer? He said, no. Not home for the summer. He said, I got 2 weeks and I got to go back because we got practice. We're going to be lifting. We're going to be conditioning. And this is June. But what are they doing? Putting it into practice. And I thought about these young men and I saw the draft and some of them talk about doing 500 jump shots a day. Practice. I said, that's hard work. And I thought, could I read 500 scriptures a day? Am I that committed? Am I as committed as an 18 or 19-year-old playing football? 500 scriptures a day. I went in the Bible, and I went down, and I'm thinking. I started counting, okay, what will that take? And here's a chapter. And I looked at that, and I didn't even start. But I got to try to make some type of commitment to that because it tells me in my mind the Lord is saying, look, are they more committed to that system? Are they getting their practice in? They're getting their jump shots in? They're putting in the work to develop what they've got, their talents and gifts, and you've got faith, and you're not putting in the work to develop faith? 500 jump shots. I'm going to read my 500 scriptures. Okay. When Pastor invites me again, I'm going to say, I can't come back, Pastor, because I ain't finished my 500 scriptures. Let me close this by summing up what we've heard. I had someone tell me, as a matter of fact, it was Mother Morgan. She said, son, one of my first sermons, she said, son, just tell them what you're going to tell them. And then tell them what you told them. And then sit down. So that's good advice. Let me sum by this. And if you really want to grow in faith, we need to first remember how faith works, right? Remember everything that we're hearing according to the scriptures. Examine everything you hear according to the scriptures. And remember what comes out of your mouth, what you speak, is so important to growing and strengthening your faith. Let's pray about it. Eternal God, our Father, we praise and thank you just for your awesome word, the power of it, as it speaks to our hearts, as it awakens our spirits, as it lets us know that we need to be more attentive and more committed to developing our faith. We thank you. We thank you for that. glorify you for that. And we know, Father, if we walk in your word, that our faith will get stronger. We pray it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.